DJ Parkour here, sitting with the lead singer of the Greeting Committee. They performed at Hippo Campus on today, November 20th.
I think so.
Probably.
Probably. You have such a nice radio voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You should listen to my show.
I will.
Maybe I'll play y'all because we play I have a show called Queer Ear, so we play queer artists.
Hell yeah.
I was going to play you actually, but we didn't do an indie set yet, so we'll figure it out.
Well, now you're going to.
Well, that's your decision.
Oh!
What is your name?
Addie. My name is Addie Sartino.
How old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
21? Fun. Yeah. And you were on tour with?
Hippocampus.
How exciting is that?
It is really exciting.
That's
I love
kind
them.
Of crazy. That's like groundbreaking.
Yeah. So Jake, the lead singer, produced our most recent EP, I'm Afraid I'm Not Angry. So it's been a good time. It's been hanging out with pals almost.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
When did you personally realize that music was what you wanted to do with your life?
Weirdly enough, in first grade, you know, you always get asked that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would always say a ninja or a rock star, even though I had no idea that I was capable of even playing music. And then I think it just kind of stuck forever, and I knew I would somehow end up doing it.
The ninja part?
Yeah, the ninja part.
Right,
yeah.
Just making
working
sure.
Working on the rock star part, so.
Makes sense. So how did you find yourself coming together with Pierce, Austin, Brandon, all of them?
Brandon's mom and my mom tried to set us up. That clearly did not work out. Instead, we got something much better, which was a friendship, and from there stemmed the Greeting Committee, because I knew instantly when I wanted to make a band that he would be my first phone call. So I got Brandon, our guitarist, and then from there he got Pierce, our bass player, and Austin, our drummer.
So has it been smooth sailing since then?
I mean, when you make a band at 15, 16 years old, there's a lot of growing up to do and a lot of maturity growth spurts waiting to happen. I would say we're just now finally hitting this phase where we can respect and appreciate each other more than ever before. And we've gotten a lot closer. You get really close when you're forming a business with somebody and then being around them constantly at the same time.
Do you feel like there's a direction you want to go in together?
I think you answered it in your question. Just going anywhere together is, I think, our goal.
So you did perform at Lollapalooza.
Yeah, I did.
Tell me about that.
That was wild. That was a while ago. Yeah, that was really cool.
It was not a while ago. It was like 2 years ago,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But in just, the music industry,
been a lot, yeah,
it
there's just
fast.
Been a lot that's going on, yeah. That was absolutely insane. We were spoiled. They golf cart you around everywhere. And like
golf carts are a luxury these
they
days.
They are. It's a luxury for sure. It was just, you felt really cool. That's something where everyone knows the word Lollapalooza, I feel like, or knows what that music festival is. So that was a nice resume builder, I guess, if you will. And our first time ever performing in front of a crowd of that size, I guess, or doing a festival like that. So that was cool. I would love to do that again.
So coming from Kansas.
Yes.
And a generally smaller area when it comes to music. What did it feel like to branch out and go to Capitol and go to LA and record and just realize that there's so much more to the music industry than maybe you had originally intended?
Yeah. I get asked a lot if I'm going to move to New York or LA, and you know, I have no idea what the future holds, but it's not in my plans as of now. And I think a big reason for that is that I just love coming back to Kansas City. I always wanted to get out when I was in high school. And now that I tour, you kind of see that, it's going to sound so cheesy, but it's like, it's not the place, it's the people. And I would miss a lot of my dear friends and my family if I moved away. And I love that I have this warm, not, you know, not weather-wise warm, but this like warm, loving place to return to. I think being in LA or New York would be rather difficult to have that many people in one area trying to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish. I think that fuels a lot of people's fires. For me, I think it kind of dulls mine in a sense. And also, I don't want to be egotistical. It's kind of a fear of mine because I think I naturally can be. I feel like if I were in LA, my head might blow up.
Or you could make some connections to get in that vibe, you know?
Yeah, I think... Nah, I'm good for now. I like being from Kansas City.
I support that. I love that.
Yeah.
And I guess you can also stay connected to the members of your band. Yeah?
Yeah, no, and the awesome thing about that is making connections is great, and I love networking and like all of that fun business stuff, and also just connection as in human connection in general. But I have a really awesome manager who gets to do all that for me. So
that's true.
Shout out Peyton Merrick.
So coming back to the growth of your band, like being from childhood, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you're on a path where there's an arc that of growth that's happening between you and your bandmates.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you feel like your inspiration for music and art comes from?
I would say it definitely has changed throughout the years. I think now moments that bring me back to being 14 or 15 years old in a crowd. I got to see the Killers in Madison Square Garden with my parents two years ago. And I just reverted instantly back into the teenager in love with music. And I think finding those moments and like that nostalgia just helps a lot with inspiration. Other than that, inspiration comes from other forms of art, other people's records, films, books, and then also just life instances. You know, for the boys, I think they can be creative in a room locked away with a bunch of instruments, and that works for them. For me, lyrically, I need a lot of life experience.
Yeah, we talked about how Hands Down was written in a very interesting way.
Yeah.
It was not what I had expected.
No, it wasn't. It's not written about anybody. It was written from interviewing a bunch of different couples on their perspective of love and their relationships.
And you found that you could reach from there?
Yeah. And I love that about that, because that song gets to be timeless and it gets to capture a bunch of different essences of love. It can be family love, friend love, or the obvious, which is romantic love.
So do you ever feel like, I mean, obviously I love the Greeting Committee. I love all of y'all together. Do you see a phase of Addy alone or no?
I mean, I'm definitely interested in doing solo music. I don't think that it would reach as many people as the Greeting Committee does, and I don't think I want that to overshadow the Greeting Committee, not in the sense of success, but in the sense of my priority. But I would love to go do a solo EP. I have fairly rough plans of doing that in 2020. We'll see if it happens. I thought I'd do it in 2019, and then I like I said, I'd rather always prioritize the Greeting Committee, especially with this phase that we're in.
So this is a question I love to ask
Okay. Most
artists when I interview them. If you had an opportunity to perform one time, whether it's in a stadium of 50,000 people or a living room with 10, with audience members that you can choose, like icons, dead or alive, what's your ideal situation of...
Oh my God, that's a great question. Okay. I've always said that I would love to sell out Midland Theater in Kansas City after being on a tour of doing venues of that similar size, which is like 3,000 capacity. So not humongous, but definitely not easy to sell out. We're not there yet. And I would love to play that venue. I'd invite, if I knew they would show up, I'd invite The Killers, I'd invite Death Cab for Cutie, Daughter, Ingrid Michaelson, who else? A lot of, Lord.
They don't have to be alive.
Amy Winehouse.
There we go.
Yeah,
I knew you were
going to
say that.
I love Amy Winehouse. Yeah, Amy Winehouse. I mean, at that point then, like, why wouldn't you invite, like, the Beatles and Prince and just people that are... I say that like all of the Beatles are dead. John Lennon.
My question next for you is, what would you say is the most significant part of communicating on tour with fans that you find impactful?
That's difficult. I mean, honestly, a lot of the really close connection comes from Instagram messages that I get. People asking for advice or words of encouragement or affirmation or whatever it may be. I would say that's where, and not because of me, but because they feel more comfortable opening up through that passageway. And that's great. It's also very difficult to have conversations with people on tour just because there's so much that goes into it, whether it's, you know, loading out, having a drive that night, a band fully playing after or before us. Yeah. Yeah, I would say Instagram has proven to be a very useful tool for connection.
Totally. Are there ways that you or anyone else in your band exhibit your artistic passion, or is it just music?
Pierce really enjoys writing. He was writing a sci-fi novel. I think he still is. And then I think everyone kind of doodles a little bit. I know Brandon doodles a little bit more than the rest of us. Music is the common denominator. For me, my other passions, like I'll put together like our video footage you see. And I love doing that. That's kind of my other artistic outlet, I guess, so to say.
So if you feel like music wasn't your direction in life as it is right now, where else could you see yourself going ideally in your life? If maybe you had another chance, if you did a different thing.
I've always wondered if I would just, no matter what, end up in music. It's a very bizarre, like I said, in first grade, I just somehow knew. And then from there, I remember being 15 years old and driving with a friend. And I was like, I'm going to get signed. It's going to happen. I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to be a rock star. And I had no idea. It was just that mentality. I kind of feel like I would end up at music no matter what. What I love outside of music is business. I know it's bizarre. They made a face. I don't know. Like, I love the business side of everything. I can see myself doing that in this life, where after I don't want to tour anymore, maybe, or if I have a family or whatever it may be, I maybe dive into a part of the music industry that allows me to stay in one place more so. I would love to develop other artists and kind of share what I've learned, I guess. I say that as if I have, like, wisdom. Hoping I acquire it.
There's experience in these last 4 years.
Yeah.
Since we've last seen each other. I'm sure. So I think this is super fun. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but are there any pre-show, post-show, during-show rituals that you have?
Yes. Austin and I rate our poops.
Cool.
That's an Austin and I thing. And then we do this thing called shakies, which comes from the boys' marching band days, where you like shake your hands up and down. There's this whole spiel to it. I won't do it, but
maybe if we find Austin, we can record it and I can put it on the website.
That would be amazing.
If you can find him, I don't know where he is.
If you can find him, we can make that.
If you can find him, that's not my job.
I'm not looking for him.
But you are you are with him, so.
Sometimes.
During your performances, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's really it.
Okay, we'll try to get that. But that's cute. Is there anything else?
I think that's it. Oh, and we like 1, 2, 3, and we normally yell dirt.
Love that. I don't know what the context is.
Really think I know either at this point.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would rather not know what it means.
Yeah, I'm just think leave it dirt. That way. Yeah, ambiguous. There we go.
Totally. Okay, one more question, because we are 100% missing the whole show. We did this last time, but it's fine.
It's amazing. It's fine.
As someone who question, are you queer?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Just to clarify for the people listening.
Yes.
Is there something you would like to say to not just queer youth, obviously, but people that just feel like they don't belong, or people that are confused and uncomfortable and alone? Like, what is something you feel like you want to tell them to just make them feel like it's all going to be okay?
I think the best bit of advice that I grew up with, and my dad gave it to me. First of all, you teach people how to treat you. No one can put you in a box if you don't let them. And then for as used as it is, it really does get better. Find people who encourage you. Find people that encourage you. Find people that love you. Find people who push you, and you'll be great.
Beautiful. That's all it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been Jerry Parkour. And I'm with
Addie Sartino from the greeting committee.
I was going to ask you where you're from. You already got it. You're on the marketing circuit.
Yeah.
And look out for them. Do you have any new works coming up?
I'm Afraid I'm Not Angry. Our most recent EP came out in October, so check that out. And then we'll be working on the second record.
And I'll probably play them on my show next quarter. I already have my quarter scheduled. Awkward. But for next quarter.
Throw me in there.
I'll find a way.
I appreciate it.
All right. Good night.
Good night.